This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
For Gail and Mornings with Gail, 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com. Coming to you from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios here in downtown Greeley. Fun to be with you again. I didn't think I'd be back quite so quickly. I was just here a couple weeks ago, but I always love coming and hanging out and filling in for Gail when she needs some time off. And she's actually getting to have breakfast this morning. She's so excited. She will definitely be back tomorrow. This is only a one-day little retreat, but hopefully I will do her justice and fill in well. You know, I'm going to start off right away. Attorney General Phil Weiser yesterday announced that Colorado is expected to receive around $300 million under a tentative settlement with major drug distributors and manufacturers for their role in the opioid epidemic, so long as local governments and everybody signs on to the deal. $300 million. And my biggest, and I'm glad somebody's paying the price, because somebody needs to pay the price for the opioid problem that we do have. But when I saw this story, the first thing that came to mind was something that we talked about when I was on, when I filled in for Gail the last time. And that was, this money is a settlement that was created out of the Attorney General's office. And the Attorney General is the one who will be distributing the money. And when I look at this story and I see that Colorado is expected to get $300 million in a settlement with, let's see here, Cardinal Health, McKesson, AmerisourceBergen, Johnson & Johnson, and then another hundred some odd million through Purdue Pharma and others, totaling almost $400 million, and that's in the hands of Phil Weiser to spend. Now, the article that I pulled out of the Colorado Sun says that the settlement funding will go to support recovery and treatment and other initiatives meant to address the opioid crisis. It won't go directly to the families who have lost their loved ones, but it will go to supposedly help with the crisis. But I still am concerned the fact that this money is under the control of Phil Weiser. And that is one of the things that we talked about the last time. They are currently out collecting signatures to change that, because anytime the Attorney General has a settlement, that money goes directly to his office, and he then gets to distribute it. It should be the state legislature that is appropriating that money. And so hopefully that will get on the ballot in 2022, and people will be able to vote on that. But this story was rather interesting, and I'm glad it is finally coming to fruition, because I had an experience a while back when my son had LASIK surgery. The surgery that he had wasn't the stereotypical LASIK. It was the old-fashioned LASIK where it took a lot longer to heal, and the procedure was a lot more. I think they called it PRK. I can't remember, but it was the more complicated of the surgeries. And before he even had the surgery, when we sat down to discuss, protocol and what was going to happen and what happened after the surgery and everything, the woman that we sat, not the doctor, not the nurse, but the woman that we sat at the table with to discuss all of this, immediately hands a prescription over to my son. And that prescription was for an opioid, and it had two refills on it. And both my son and I looked at it, and one, I didn't even think you were able to do refills on narcotics without calling into the doctor every time. But my son immediately looked at it, and he's like, "Do I have to take this?" And she said, "Well, you'll actually want it." And he goes, "No, I actually don't think I will. I have a pretty high pain tolerance, and I don't want something that I'm going to have to worry about getting, you know, addicted to. And she's like, well, why don't you keep it and just we'll just go from there. But I'm pretty sure you're going to want it. So when he went in and he talked to the doctor, he got the same conversation with the doctor. The doc, they didn't want to take this prescription back. He was convinced that he didn't want it. I was so proud of my son for pushing back on it. But they literally would not let him give back this prescription for OxyContin. So he handed it to me as we walked out of the office, and he said, I do not want you to fill this unless I absolutely, he goes, Mom, you know me. I have a really high pain tolerance. He was a college pitcher. He went through a lot of pain, a lot of Aleve, a lot of ibuprofen, torn labrum, broken wrists. I mean, you name it, he had it. And he said, unless I absolutely am dying, I don't want to hold on to this. You hold on to this, and I don't want it filled. Well, kudos to my son. We never did fill that prescription. I was able to rip it up and throw it away. But so many other people have not been able to do that. And when I read this story, and it talks about the things in here, such as I don't know that we're even going to meet the needs of those who are struggling today, Weiser said. Colorado has about 30% of the drug treatment resources it needs. The distributors will also have to flag and prevent shipping suspicious opioid orders and create a clearinghouse to provide state regulators with aggregated data about where the drugs are going under the term. And Johnson & Johnson is going to be required to stop manufacturing and selling opioids for 10 years. But it shouldn't stop there, because when I think about what happened with my son and his LASIK eye surgery, that was the doctor. Where are the doctors at in this? I understand that part of this settlement is because they're claiming that these big pharmaceuticals pressured these doctors into prescribing higher and higher doses. But I thought in the very beginning, when you got a medical license, the first thing you did was take the Hippocratic Oath and pledge to do no harm. So how do you go to sleep at night falling prey to these pharmaceutical companies? And they're supposedly pressuring you into, there still needs to be more done with this, folks. I really struggle that the only people that are paying the price for this are the people that manufactured the drugs. The doctors who are prescribing the drugs are the final gateway for these drugs. And those doctors need to be playing some role in some of the problems in here. The story goes on to say Colorado is also expected to receive another $50 million from a proposed settlement with Purdue Pharma and the family that owns the bankrupt pharmaceutical company. And in exchange, Colorado will agree not to step in the way of a planned bankruptcy that was filed. Weiser said that the $50 million would also be shared with local governments to support prevention, treatment recovery initiatives. I got to say, I'm glad somebody's paying the price, but I guess only time will tell to see if this money, $400 million, if this money will actually go to where it's supposed to go. But most surprising in this entire article is nearly 21,000 prescriptions were dispensed in Alamosa County in 2015. And the population in Alamosa County is 16,700. So in 1 year, with just under 17,000 residents, they distributed 21,000 prescriptions, more prescriptions for opioids than there are residents. And in Otero County, where the population was 18,000 people, there were more than 30,000 prescriptions issued in 1 year. We're talking nearly double. Unbelievable. 615, Sherry Pife, in for Gail, 1310 KFKA.
The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA. Today's headlines, podcasts of Mornings with Gail and more, and a schedule of upcoming sports broadcasts. Find them at 1310kfka.com.
Good morning. everybody. Sherry Pike in again this morning for Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios here at 1310 KFK in downtown Greeley, 1310kfk.com. If you have something you want to talk about, please don't hesitate to call in 970-353-1310 or drop us a text at 970-478-1310. We'd love to hear from you. I pulled a opinion piece out of the Colorado Sun by Mike Litwin, who many have probably seen. He also used to, I don't know if he still does, do opinion pieces for the Greeley Tribune. So many of you may recognize that name. He swings very far to the left. He's a proud progressive, and that's completely fine. But I found this column that he did quite interesting because he starts off talking about, I'm sure everybody saw Jeff Bezos had his first successful flight for the multi-trillionaires that just have nothing more better to do with their $20 million than take a flight up into the space and come back. And you know, I never thought in my life I'd ever say this, but parts of Litwin's column that I pulled, I actually agreed with. And that was the fact that I'm entirely uninterested in what's going on with Jeff Bezos or the Musk brothers and all of their fun time that they're having, taking a stab at space, because I really think that there's something better that they could be doing with their money. But that's not my money. That's their money. And that's what free market and capitalism is all about. And I guess if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. I just don't care. It's just not something that interests me. That being said, where Litwin and I start to disagree is he gets into what they could be doing better with their money, and that's helping poor kids. And he goes from, he's all over the place in this column. He goes from space and Bezos and rockets to the science of the pandemic. I found this one paragraph here. It says, "The science that we should be spending our time on is the science of vaccinations and why the flat earthers among us reject that science." Well, okay, first I'm going to admit that I agree with part of that in that, yeah, we should be spending more time on the science of vaccinations. There is no doubt. But where I, again, draw the line is I reject the science. I personally reject the current science on vaccinations, but I am also not a flat earther. And putting everybody into this category of those of us who have chosen not to get a vaccine and marking us as crazy, just astounds me the rhetoric and the tools that are being used by those to try to get us to get these vaccinations. He goes on to say, "We no longer have a coronavirus pandemic. We have a pandemic for the unvaccinated, who make up nearly all of the cases, all of the new hospitalizations, and all of the new deaths. Great. Those people, such as myself, have made that choice. I have made the choice to take my chance with the virus instead of get the vaccine. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I'm not saying I will never, ever get the vaccine. At some point, I'm sure I will. But I want to wait until there's a little bit more science." But where he then jumps to in all of this is Senator, he goes on to talk about, "But what does get to me about billionaires in space is the hype surrounding it, the nonstop press coverage given to it, the wide-eyed praise for it. I didn't watch either launch, but you know what I did watch the night before the Bezos trip? The Colorado Sun hosted a Zoom interview with Senator Michael Bennett on the expanded child tax credit, which, unlike space tourism, is truly revolutionary in its scope." How is it revolutionary? There's been a child tax credit for decades. The only thing that's revolutionary, which really isn't revolutionary either, is that now we want to expand it. We want to give it to just about everybody. And I'll get into that in a second. We really do want to give it to just about everybody. And we want to give it to them monthly in the form of $300 a month for kids under six and $250 a month for kids between 7 and 18 rather than the lump sum at the end of the year that they used to give. Well, the child, if you take $300 a month times 12, you have $3,600. The child tax credit, I don't think ever got that high, because if you take, if some families have three, four, five, six kids, you take that $3,600 and you times that by, you know, several children, that is way higher than the expanded or than the child tax credit has ever been. They want to make this permanent. They want to do this forever. And it's not just going to go to the people that it's gone to in the past where you have to fit into this little bit of a category. It's going to go to people who actually don't pay taxes. So now if you don't have any income tax due, you now qualify for it. But here's the one that gets me the most. Quote from his column. Some are calling the idea Social Security for kids and not just for those in poverty. A single filer making less than $112,500 a year. A single filer. So that means if I, Sherry Pife, am making less than $112,000 a year and I have a child under 18, I'm going to start getting this extra $3,600 a year because I don't apparently don't make enough money at $112,000 a year to successfully raise my child on my own. I now get you, the taxpayer, to help me out. Couples have to be under $150,000, and then the credit decreases for every $1,000 over that by $50. He goes on to say, at least one Republican is on board. Mitt Romney has proposed an even more generous plan. That's a story for another day. Not even going to go there. The cost of this program is $110 billion annually. Annually, $110 billion annually. I'm going to stop there for now. When we come back, we'll get a little bit more into it. This is Sherry in for Gail, 1310 KFKA.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. More local talk coming up next with NoCo Now on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. Sherry Pife in this morning for Gail. 1310 KFK from the Auto Collision Studio Specialist Studio. Gail is out this morning. She's having breakfast over at the Habitat for Humanity, folks, and just taking a little bit of a breather. And she will be back tomorrow. I always enjoy filling in for her and spending some time with y'all. For those that don't know me, I am a lifelong Greeley resident. I was born and raised here, and I've been here my entire 50-some-odd years. I am an investigative reporter. I come on with Gail from time to time, investigative reporter for Complete Colorado. Spent about 15 years at the Greeley Tribune and moved on to Complete Colorado about 6 years ago. But dabble in radio from time to time and love hanging out with y'all every once in a while. I want to get back to this column by Mike Litwin in the Colorado Sun yesterday. And he's talking about this expanded child tax credit that Senator Michael Bennett is jumping on board with. And when we left, we were talking, this program is going to cost $110 billion annually. That number just astounds me. And let me tell you why. I pulled up some numbers and the numbers are a little bit outdated because of the way they keep track of this stuff. But the most recent numbers that we have are from 2019. But let's talk about foreign aid and the money that the United States spends on foreign aid. In 2019, they spent $47 billion in foreign aid. So the cost of the child tax credit is more than double what this country spends on foreign aid. We can get into a discussion at a later date about whether or not the money going to foreign aid is appropriate or not either. But we are going to spend more than double in a new program We can't just keep printing money, folks. This is the problem. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how we're going to pay this. How we're going to pay this back? There is definitely a poverty issue. There is no doubt. We have to figure something out. We have to do something. But we take the kids today that we want to give this money to try to pull them out of poverty now, so that when they become working adults, they can be in poverty again, trying to pay back the taxes that we're going to put in front of them at $110 billion a year. Are you kidding me? Bennett, in this interview that he did with the Colorado Sun, said the poorest population in America are children. Childhood poverty costs our country $1 trillion a year. I think all of us as Americans have a reason to not want childhood poverty to be a pertinent feature of our economy or a pertinent feature of our democracy. Okay, no, none of us do. But I go back to, but what happens when these children are adults and they have to start paying back this tax bill? That is the first and foremost problem that we need to take care of. Along the same lines, you know, when we talk about numbers and pushing people to do things that they don't want to do and all this other stuff, vaccines, I saw where we now have another incentive. Great. I'm so excited. Governor Polis is now offering $100 Walmart gift cards. So if you go to a certain spot to get your vaccine, you can get a $100 gift card for that vaccine. You know, all of the million-dollar drawings are over, but now it's a $100 gift card to Walmart. More money. And then at the same token, Senator Mitch McConnell is basically threatening America that if we don't get the vaccine, we're all going to go back into lockdown again come this fall. Is this saga ever going to end? It just amazes me. We continue to talk about day after day, week after week, what is the next level? What is the next turn? What are we going to be doing tomorrow? So I decided I wanted to see, because I'm still on this money kick, how much money are we wasting, you know, with the expanded child tax credit? On top of that, we still have the problem with the expanded unemployment benefits that are going to people because of COVID, the extra $300 a week. And during break, I just did some quick math. If you make $12.50 an hour and you work a 40-hour work week, and you lost your job due to COVID, and I can't remember exactly how much you get when you draw unemployment, but I think it's like 3/4 of what your actual income is. So instead of the $500 a week that you were making on the $12.50, you now are drawing $375 unemployment. But then the government's giving you an extra $300 a week for unemployment benefits. So now instead of $500 a week that you were making when you were working, you're getting $675 a week. So you're actually making $175 more a week than what you were. So if you consider there's 4.2 weeks in a month, because of the unemployment expansion for COVID, the unemployed who was making $12.50 an hour is now making $735 more a month because of that unemployment benefit. Now let's pretend that you have a family of four and both parents got laid off and that you have two kids. One is under six and one is between 6 and 18. So now you're drawing, two parents are drawing $735 more a month in unemployment. Plus you're now getting an extra $300 a month for your under 6 year old and an extra $250 a month for your 6 to 18 year old. So all totaled, you are now making $2,000 more a month because the government says this is the right thing to do. $2,000 more a month, one family. That money adds up. So more wasted tax money. So I pulled up yet one more issue because I wanted to see, Colorado can't be the only place that's giving out these incentives, right? Oh, no. Let's talk about vaccine incentives for a minute. California. So here are the states that offered lotteries. California, Colorado, Kentucky, Maryland, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, Oregon, Washington, and West Virginia all offered lotteries. California had 10 winners of $1.5 million each. They had 30 winners of $50,000 each and 2 million winners of $50 gift cards. Colorado had 5 $1 million winners. Kentucky had 3 $1 million winners. Maryland wasn't quite as much. They had one winner of $400,000 and 40 winners at $40,000. New Mexico, they went big, let me tell you. New Mexico gave one winner $5 million for getting a vaccine. Okay, bribe, whatever. But $5 million. You want to know how we can help our children in poverty? We can stop bribing people to go get a vaccine. And we can stop bribing people to have the government dictate their health necessities. North Carolina gave four winners $1 million each. Ohio, five winners $1 million each. Oregon, one winner got $1 million, 36 winners got $10,000 each. Washington was $1 million cash prize for one winner, and four winners each got $250,000. And then West Virginia gave out one, this one really cracks me up. West Virginia gave one winner $1.588 million. Not $1.587 million, not $1.589 million, but $1.588 million. I don't know where that number came from. One winner got $588,000, and seven winners got $1 million each. So West Virginia put out $9 million. $9 million in West Virginia bribing you to get the vaccination. But it doesn't stop with states bribing people in these lotteries. The incentives continue. Now we get into government, private-public partnerships, where Lyft and Uber have partnered with states and communities to offer free rides to people to go get their vaccinations. And then we have the dating apps. This one really makes me laugh. Several dating apps, some of the more popular ones that you would recognize, Bumble, Match.com, Tinder, are offering special little premium content, boosts, super likes. So when I was, the man I'm currently seeing, I met in the middle of COVID, and I was on several dating apps. And at one point, my profile on my dating app said, if you're going to ask me if I'm wearing a mask or if you're still wearing a mask and you ever plan to ask me if I'm going to get a vaccination, swipe left now. I didn't even want them contacting me. That is not something that on my first date, I want some guy going, so, hey, baby, you wearing a mask? Not a date thing, sorry. But now we're partnering with these dating apps are partnering with the government so that you can now put at the top of your profile that I'm vaccinated. Okay, moving right along. Krispy Kreme Donuts offers a free glazed donut to anybody who gets their COVID-19 vaccination. Okay, let's weigh that one out. $1.50 donut or a vaccination? Which one do I want? Do I want to pay $1.50 for a donut or do I want to go get a vaccination? I'll pay $1.50 for the donut. Shake Shack in New York City is offering New York City is offering vouchers to Shake Shack for anybody who gets vaccinated at a mobile vaccine bus. 70 McDonald's locations in California is offering a free menu item. Okay, so protect yourself from COVID, but then load up on high greasy fat carb. Yeah, not going there. Anyway, and then we've got companies who are offering paid time off. The list goes on and on and on. And it just amazes me how we as a society have gone from freedom, liberty, doing what we want to do, taking care of our health the way we need to take care of it, what's best for us, to being bribed at every turn and corner. You cannot turn on the television. You cannot turn on the radio. You cannot pick up a newspaper. You can't even pick up a newsletter from your child's school. Every single day, it's one more bribe, one more offer, one more threat. It's got to stop at some point. This time check is brought to you by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, where Shrek the Musical takes center stage through August 22nd. For tickets and show information, visit coloradocandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, Broadway in your backyard. It is 6:50.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. If you miss any portion of Mornings with Gail, go to 1310kfka.com to download the podcast today. Back to Gail.
Welcome back. Sherry Pike in this morning for Gail. She's out having breakfast for a change with a bunch of other fun people. Reporting here from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, 1310 KFK. Real quickly, before we head into the second hour of the show, I pulled another story from the Colorado Sun. It's Colorado Sun morning, I guess, at KFK. I keep saying it. Pulled a story. There were 504 bills introduced in the legislature, and I always find, I say this throughout the entire legislative season, every time they go, oh, this bill was passed with bipartisan effort. Oh, this bill was passed with bipartisan effort. I really wish somebody would define what bipartisan effort means, because they love to throw that term around, bipartisan effort, even if one person from the other party says yes. So you can have, you know, I'm these numbers aren't correct, but I'm just giving an example. You could have 70 Democrats and one Republican vote on something, and there would be a report that it was a bipartisan effort. So the Colorado Sun actually broke down. This is a lot of work, and I got to give kudos to the reporter that did this, or reporters that did this, because this was a lot of work. The Colorado Sun broke down all 504 bills. They looked at third reading, which is the final reading before the bill passes, and how many people voted yes on these bills and whether or not they were Democrats or Republicans. And so it says a record 504 bills introduced in the Colorado legislature became law this year, and 94% of them had at least one Republican vote. And half of the 39 Republicans in the State House and Senate voted for 58% of those bills, according to the Colorado Sun analysis. Now, I want to put a little bit of a disclaimer in here, in that last time I was on, I had Hugh McKean, the House Minority Leader, in here talking about, or on air with me, talking about what these Republicans are voting yes on. A lot of these bills are mundane, everyday bills, the budget, wording cleanup, things that they're going to vote yes on. I don't want to make this sound like this story sounds like these are all extremely, you know, controversial. All 504 bills were controversial bills that you had 58% of those, you know, half the Republicans were voting for. That's not the case here. And the Sun does not lay out whether or not these bills were what these bills were that they voted on. They just laid out who voted on what, you know, and how many people were voted. And I'll get into a little bit of that in the next hour. I find it fascinating the work that was done on this and how much effort went into figuring out exactly now, all of a sudden, who's bipartisan and who's not. Sherry Pife, in for Gail, 1310 KFKA.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA. It's training camp time, and Brady has all the Broncos inside you'll need. Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
I'm so looking forward to the next hour. I'm going to have Weld County Commissioner Lori Sain is going to come in, and we're going to talk about a little project that she is working on and has been working on for some time since she was in the state legislature. And I can't wait to talk to her about that. I will wrap up this story out of the Colorado Sun and these party line votes. 1310 KFKA, Greeley, Loveland, Fort Collins. It is 7 o'clock.